G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 213, brought to you by our Patreon members community. A big shout out to you members of the Patreon community and all members of the Patreon community that have joined over the last 6 months. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful. We had a Zoom meeting last night, actually, with people from around the world, an accountability meeting. It was fantastic to see people sharing experiences, helping each other. It was really motivating and inspiring to see the gains they've made since joining the Patreon community and getting thoughts from other people and like-minded people in that Zoom meeting. We do those twice a month, both in the Southern Hemisphere and Northern Hemisphere, but there's so much more to the Patreon community than that. We do bonus content, bonus podcasts, bonus topics, bonus five-minute focuses, bonus audio series. There's a lot of stuff you don't hear in the mainstream that really is helpful for people on an intermittent fasting lifestyle journey. So take a look at the show notes there at that link. I strongly urge you to join. For a cup of coffee a month, it's well worth it. And I honestly don't know of any accountability and support on the internet that you can get for intermittent fasting for a cup of coffee a month like that. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. I'm going to be speaking with Michelle Corbett. Michelle is 52 years old and lives in the northeast of England in a place called Lofell, not far from the city of Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Michelle lives with her husband, Michael, and they celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary last August. And Michelle has a 24-year-old son, Owen, and a 21-year-old daughter, Abby, and they live with their gorgeous little poodle, Milo. And Michelle leads a very busy lifestyle, and she has her own cleaning business and craft business, as you'll hear about in this podcast. And Michelle loves being active, walking her dog, attending boxing classes, the gym, and usually manages to hit 15,000 steps a day. Michelle's been following intermittent fasting now for over a year, about 14 months, and she's going to tell us about her journey so far. So here she is, the amazing and wonderful Michelle Corbett. Oh, g'day, Michelle, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Good morning, Graham. It's morning in the UK, so lovely to see you again.
Yes, bright and early there in the UK, about 8 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a very warm day here in Perth, 44 degrees or well over 100 Fahrenheit, so it's a bit toasty here, Michelle. So, Michelle, for the people around the world that may not know you or of your story, which is very inspiring, by the way, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a bit of your backstory and sort of history and how you sort of made that pathway to actually getting to intermittent fasting.
Okay, so like everybody else, I do have a little bit of a backstory. I'm 52 years old now. I'm 5'3", so I am pretty small. I've tried more or less every diet going that you can imagine. Weight Watchers, Slimming World here in the UK is very popular. I've tried shakes, I've tried calorie counting, calories in, calories out, you name it, that I have tried every diet. And it was about, I would say about 6 or 7 years ago that I actually first heard the term intermittent fasting. And it was actually my mum who had heard about it. Now, I just have to say, my mum is at the moment 75. She's like 14 pounds less weight than me, and she looks absolutely amazing. Nobody can ever think that she's 75. She's brilliant. And she had wanted to lose a little bit of weight at that time, and she had heard about this fasting. But in our minds, fasting was something like you didn't eat your breakfast, then you had a milkshake for lunch, like a protein shake. Then maybe you would have a little protein bar at 3 o'clock. And then you would have more or less what you wanted for your tea, but healthy. And then you would just stop eating by 8 o'clock. So you were kind of doing a 18-6 or 16-8 approach. So we tried it, like everything else. We got the protein shakes, spent a fortune on them. And yes, it does work if you stick to it for the first couple of weeks. And you'll see a few pounds coming off and you think, this is great. You don't have to faff about making a lunch and it's just the milkshake on the go. But of course, that just isn't sustainable. My mum did lose a little bit more weight than me. I kind of did it Monday to Friday, and then I would have my weekends a bit looser, and then I would get back onto it. So I would kind of lose a couple of pounds, put it back on, lose a couple of pounds. So that was a good few years ago. Then when I was 47, I went into perimenopause. I didn't realise what was happening at the time. It was a friend of mine on the school run pointed it out and said, you should go and get yourself tested for menopause. Also, had been on wanted a breast reduction for a long time. So I actually had that done in 2020 in the October. And again, I just thought, wow, this is going to change everything. I'm going to lose so much weight. My figure's going to be just like a size 10 straight away. You know, I just expected everything to change straight away, which it did. Obviously, it did make a massive difference. However, I suddenly had this tummy and I thought, where's that come from? Because obviously it had been hidden. And I just thought, oh, I need to do something about this. So obviously during COVID that hit, I lost my little childminding business that I had for 18 years. I was at home all of the time. The weather actually in the UK at the time was lovely. We were sat in the garden. I was with my daughter. My son and husband, bless them, had to still go to work. Couldn't go out. You couldn't really exercise. Luckily, we have got an absolutely gorgeous little dog called Milo that we were able to take out for daily walks. And that sort of kept us sane. But again, we just sat in the garden, you know, it was a gin and tonic at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday and eating, you know, your sandwiches and crisps and whatever. We had no interest in anything really. And it was a scary time. It was a very scary time. Cut to where I really got into the intermittent fasting was January last year. It was 2023 and it was the January, which had the Christmas, so about a year ago. And it was going to be mine and my husband's 25th wedding anniversary that year. And we wanted to do something really nice to celebrate that. So we decided to book a cruise to go to the Caribbean. And I thought, right, there's no way that I can go on this cruise at the size that I am. I want to enjoy myself. It's a big holiday. It's a lot of money. What can I do? So I started having a little look. I remembered I had downloaded a book, which was Jin Stevens, Fast, Feast, Repeat. And I thought, right, I'm going to have a quick read of that again, just to remind myself of it, because it did have in the back of my mind, fasting. I'd heard a few people. I had a look for her Facebook group, but that time it didn't exist anymore. And I thought, all right, well, I'll have a little look around. So did a bit of research, found your book, The Fasting Highway. Actually, I'll back up a little bit. I did start listening to Jin's podcast, read her book, listened to her podcast. And I think I heard your podcast on hers and I loved it. And I just thought, who is this lovely guy in Australia? And you were so lovely about your wife. And immediately I thought, right, I'm going to have a look at his stuff as well. So I downloaded your book, read that, loved it, and listened to your podcasts as well. So I kind of had those little bit of research tools to build on. And straight away, I just thought, this is just the way to go. So I started, I think it was the 21st of January last year. I thought, right, this is it, I'm doing this. So when I actually started, I got myself weighed, and I was around about 210 pounds, which for my height is just way over. In kilos, that's 95 kilos. And in stones, it's around about 15 stone. I only ever hit the 15 stone a couple of times. I was always just underneath it. So I thought, right, this is the way I've got to start. So basically, that's how I heard about intermittent fasting, and that's how I got started.
So, Michelle, just between Jin's podcasts and books and reading The Fasting Highway and joining into The Fasting Highway Facebook group, did you get the message of the clean fast straight away when you first started intermittent fasting? How did that roll for you?
Yes, so the clean fast, yes. Luckily, I am not a breakfast eater anyway. I never have been because I'm just usually too busy. So, yes, I did get the clean fast straight away. What I used to do was I used to go to work in the morning, do a cleaning job. Then I would take my little dog Milo for a walk in the park. And when I went to the park at 12 o'clock, I would grab myself a cappuccino and that would open the window. Then I would maybe have a little protein bar, a little snack, and then I'd have my tea. And the protocol that I had at the beginning was 12 o'clock in the afternoon till 8. That's when I would have my eating window. And then I very quickly realised that, like, the milky coffees and the protein bars, which are just full of, like, you know, sweeteners, artificial sugars, things like that, weren't really the best things to be opening your window with. So I very quickly just went to black coffee, and that's all I drink now as well. It was very easy to transition onto the black coffee. I think I liked things like dark chocolate and things like that, so the bitter taste didn't really bother me. And I just cut things like out the cappuccino. I mean, God, I couldn't even drink a cappuccino now. And I used to have about 5 a day. I always drink water because I've got such a physical job. I'm on my feet all day. I usually do about 3 cleaning jobs per day. So I've always got a bottle of water with us. I drink that all day. And yeah, the clean fast, very, very important. I would say if anybody's thinking about doing it, if it's something like a creamy coffee that's putting you off doing it, like I hear so many people who will say, oh, I couldn't not have me creamy cup of coffee in the morning. And I'm like, yes, you can. Just have your creamy cup of coffee when you open your window. You can still have them. But at the end of the day, this is not just because you're doing intermittent fasting, it's not like other diets, but it doesn't mean you can't not change anything. You do have to change a couple of things to get the results that you want. And believe me, cutting out a creamy cup of coffee is well worth it for the results. I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, I always say to people, why let a beverage get in the way of your health goals? You know, if it's something as so simple as, you know, not having that cream in our coffee, not having butter and bulletproof coffee, they call it, and that sort of thing, and giving our organs a chance to rest from that digestion process of where we're sort of pumping up our insulin all the time. And if it's a simple thing like just clean fasting, and we know that that's the magic that actually the scientific research has shown us that. So, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. So when you started your fasting protocol, you know, your eating protocol, what was your actual hours? What did you start with? And did that transition, has that changed over the last year?
Yeah. So when I first started, obviously very easy not to have the breakfast. I didn't eat it anyway. I knew I sort of got a little bit hungry in the afternoon. And I've always been a little bit of a nighttime eater. So I thought I wanted an afternoon window. So I started 12 o'clock in the afternoon until 8 o'clock. I do tend to do some exercise classes in the evening, and I don't like to eat before I exercise. So that was kind of, once I got in from the exercise class, I would then have something to eat, which sometimes was 7 o'clock. So I had to have me window till 8 o'clock. I did keep that up for quite a while, probably the first couple of months, just to get into it. And that worked well, very well for me. Even though the window opened at 12 o'clock, sometimes I didn't eat till 2 o'clock, or it would be maybe it's 1 o'clock. It just depended on how hungry I was. Since then, I'm obviously a year into it, and the protocol is completely different. I now very rarely eat anything before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's early in the morning here. It's 20 past 8. I'll be doing 3 cleaning jobs a day, take my dog for a walk. I know I won't have anything to eat till at least 3 o'clock, but probably not even till 5. Tonight I have got a Zumba class at 7 o'clock, so I'll probably have something light to eat at 5 o'clock, just so I've got something on my stomach, and then I'll have a proper meal when I come in after my Zumba, which will be late. So what I try to do with my protocol these days is I'll try to have no more than a 5-hour window through the week, and I'll whatever time I start eating, I'll count 5 hours from that window. So if I'm really hungry at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll have something at 1 o'clock, but then I'll stop 5 hours later. Usually it's 5 o'clock till about eight, sometimes a 3 hour window. But the brilliant thing about the intermittent fasting is you can do that. It doesn't matter when you eat during the day, as long as you kind of balance the fast out with the window, and mine always just tends to balance out.
Yeah, I think you sound like you're more of an intuitive sort of style. You know it's time to eat and away you go. And I think after a year or two, we do get to that point. But Michelle, your eating style, what would you describe it as? I mean, what sort of foods do you love and the sort of transitions you've made and the sort of shopping that you do? Just let people know the typical sort of meals that you may have and the type of foods that you love now. And then if you discovered that there were some foods that didn't serve you, like you were just talking about, and how that's transitioned, also just being able to delay or in fact deny them.
But when I first started, I kind of more or less stuck to my normal foods, which I didn't eat a lot of processed foods anyway. I mean, I don't like things like pizza, and I'll have a slice now and again, but it doesn't really bother me. I've always been quite a little bit of like a healthy eater anyway. So when I first started, a cappuccino to open the window, then I would have a protein bar, which you kind of think's a healthy option, but to be honest, they're so full of sweeteners and sugar. Definitely listening to the podcasts gives a lot of knowledge about food. Like the artificial sweeteners, I cut them out. I used to have coffees with a sweetener in it 5 times a day. They've gone. I couldn't even eat or drink anything with a sweetener in now. All of the things like the protein bars went. I switched those out to things like having a handful of nuts with some dark chocolate and a bit of peanut butter. That combined tastes exactly the same as a protein bar, but there's so much less sugar in it, and it's better for you. It satisfies you quicker as well. So what I tend to do these days is I'll have a snack at 3 o'clock if I really need one, and it'll be something like some olives or some feta cheese, maybe some hummus with some carrot sticks, something like that. And then for my teas, oh, I have some. I really take my time with me evening meal. I'll get in from work, say it's 5 o'clock. I'll maybe put a little bit of garlic bread in the air fryer while I'm cooking tea. So I'll have that as a little starter. Then I'll have a tea, but I'll really take my time to make the tea. I won't just grab anything. So last night, for instance, I had some beautiful olive bread, which was toasted, and a mashed up avocado on the top of it with some chili flakes. I had some chicken on the top of that, and then two fried eggs. Absolutely beautiful. Loads of protein, healthy, really hit the spot. Usually after that, I'll have something like some nuts, or I'll have some Greek yogurt with berries, nuts, a little bit of dark chocolate. But it was too late last night. I did two exercise classes last night, and I thought, I'm not having the dessert tonight. I had enough. It was too late. And that satisfies me. I like whole foods, healthy foods. I try to stay away from the processed foods as much as I can, but I do like a little bit of cheese and crackers now and again. I do still think like things like potato chips. However, I'll go for the kind of like you can get the carrot potato chips and the natural ones, more natural ones. Raw. And what I used to do, I would eat everything. Like if I had a bag of crisps, that would it, the whole lot would be eaten. Now I can just pour a couple onto my plate, put the packet away, and I don't think about them again. I like to have everything set out in front of us for my tea. I like to have my main meal, my little nuts, my crackers, whatever I'm having. And then I'll sit for an hour. I'll maybe watch my Kindle. I'll read. My family's usually eaten by then. I've got two lads who work physical jobs. As soon as they come in from work, they need something to eat. Although my son does intermittent fasting as well, he's done brilliant on it. And I really take the time to enjoy my food now. I don't, which is why if I'm hungry through the day at work, I try not to eat, because I think I'm at work, I'm busy, I'm cleaning, I can't physically sit down to eat. I don't like to eat on the go anymore. And the food is just so important. Just to sit and enjoy it. It's something, the fast's really important, but like you said, so is the feast. And it's nice to have nice food, and then when you're finished, you think, I really enjoyed that. And then you don't really need to grab anything else. And I do delay things quite a lot now. Like, and I think, oh, I could really fancy. What I do now is I think, right, get through your week, or on Friday, I'm going to meet my mum and my sister, I'm going to take the dogs for a walk, and I'm going to treat myself to a nice piece of cake. If it's window-worthy cake, it has to be like from a fresh bakery or something like that, and it has to be nice. And I never, ever feel guilty now over eating anything. I enjoy everything. And if it's something that I've really wanted, I have it. I've enjoyed it. Move on. There's never any guilt from that now. And I used to be guilty all of the time. I used to think, I shouldn't have ate that. I've had two biscuits, right? I might as well just have another four. No, I can have two biscuits now if I really want them, which is rare. And that's it. I'm done. I've had them. I've enjoyed them. That's it. The packet goes away. And that never happened. I could eat a whole packet of biscuits a night quite easily.
Yeah, so your behaviour with food has changed quite a lot. And that appetite correction that we talk about, I would suggest that you've found that where you're eating, in your eating window, where you get to that point where you have that sort of automatic feeling after a while where you just know that you're full and satisfied and you don't continue to eat through that. Did you find that appetite correction feeling coming for you, and when did that sort of happen?
Yeah, pretty quickly, to be fair. I mean, I'm small anyway, you know. It's not, I'm more like 5'3". I'm quite a petite size. I'm tiny. I obviously can't eat as much. Yes, I could eat things like sweets and cake and crisps, but actual full meals, like, I struggle. I mean, we went on holiday with some friends. We went on a lovely cruise for our 25th anniversary, but the Caribbean, it was beautiful. I had managed to lose 22 pounds doing the intermittent fasting in 15 weeks. I felt great. Even like one of my friends who was a proper foodie, he used to go, God, you're leaving that? Like, he used to get a little bit annoyed because I used to leave food on my plate. And I just go, I can't eat it. Like, I'm too full. Whereas beforehand, I probably would have tried to eat it all. And now, as soon as I get to the point where I think I've had enough, I'll just leave it. And I was brought up in a house where you kind of ate everything on your plate. Lovely food growing up. My mum was a brilliant cook. But I always felt as if I had to eat everything. And now, no. I mean, even if I have a meal at home and I've left half of it, I'll sometimes put it to one side. You know, if it's a salad or a bit of chicken or something, and I think, right, in an hour's time, if I'm hungry, rather than going for some cheese or crackers or something, I'll just eat the other half of that meal. So I do that quite a lot. So the appetite correction for me kicked in pretty quickly, to be fair. And I still do have it now. I don't like the full feeling now. You know, when you're like, after your Christmas lunch and you're stuffed, and I just don't like that feeling, so I don't get to that point now.
Yeah, fully get it. And I think you said something that was really important then, which is about, you know, when you do like to have a treat and you have some cake, you have that really good cake, you know, cake that's really well made, good ingredients. You buy it from a nice artisan type baker rather than just take anything. And I think that's where we sort of develop our taste, don't we? And, you know, it's a bit like champagne. I always say to my girls, if you're going to drink champagne, drink good champagne. You know, don't go and buy the cheap $5 bottles of champagne. Buy something good. And I think that's what happens with intermittent fasting. We start craving that really good, higher quality food. Sometimes it's a bit more expensive. And people often say to me, oh, you must save a lot of money intermittent fasting. I say, well, no, because I buy more expensive food than I used to when I was morbidly obese because I was eating a lot of processed food, which was cheap. And now I eat high quality cuts of meat. I eat high quality foods. So yeah, the money saving thing wasn't really a big thing for me, but I think that's a natural progression, don't you?
Definitely. I much prefer now to go to the local butcher or the local greengrocer or what have you. Sometimes it's difficult because obviously we're busy people and what have you. But yeah, you do taste the quality definitely. Like, if you have a bit of cake from, like, you know, the supermarket, it's just full of sugar, preservatives. You get that horrible aftertaste and you don't feel satisfied after it. Sometimes you think, well, I didn't quite enjoy that, but you need something else to eat. Whereas if you go to a lovely little baker, you have a really nice cup of coffee, you have a lovely homemade chocolate brownie, the ingredients are so nice and they're so high quality, to satisfy you a lot better. We've got a fabulous baker's beside where I live, and the brownies are not big, they're little, not dead expensive, but, you know, a little bit more expensive than what you would pay. And I can only eat half of that. That's very rich. But once you've had half of it, you think, beautiful, the tastes in your mouth, you feel satisfied, and I can always now put that away and have it like the next day or later on. Whereas before, I could have ate four brownies, you know, just mindlessly. And now I really savor the taste and I just take time to enjoy it. It really does make the taste very different, I think, for the better.
Yeah.
Definitely for the better.
You mentioned a couple of things there, which leads me to my next question, which I think you've been experiencing. We talk about the non-scale victories, or the NSVs, as they're referred to in the intermittent fasting online communities. So let's talk about the non-scale victories for you and some of the health benefits that you've seen. You've been doing this for a year now. Aside from the weight loss, Michelle, just run us through some of that.
It's a very physical job. I can go, I'll be after this podcast, I'll be taking my lonely little dog for a walk. Then I've got 3 2-hour jobs, which I'll do back to back. Now I can fly through them jobs now. Little mopping bucket, me who run up and down the stairs, which I never could do before. I used to have to kind of hold onto the banisters, haul myself up the stairs. My knees would be creaking, my joints would be aching. I don't have anything like that now. I then on an evening, I've got time to come back. I go do a couple of exercise classes. I work on my other little craft business on an evening. I don't very rarely sit down. I'm on the go all of the time, which I love. My rings, I've had to take the ring off this finger for work because it's too big. It just keeps coming off. Clothes-wise, I've gone down in my clothes. I've had to give so many away. And my daughter's made a fortune on Vinted, selling all my old clothes. So she's been delighted with that. General mood, well-being, honestly, like, especially with everything that people have been through with COVID, like me going through the menopause, life in general can get you down quite a lot. And I think now, I mean, I still have my moments, I'm not perfect, but I can kind of categorize things now. The things that would have bothered us in the past, I try not to let them bother me now. They're insignificant. Mindset, more positive things, you know, I'm a little bit more organized, a lot more active. I mean, the weight loss has been brilliant. And I love that. Still want to lose a little bit of more weight, but everything else that comes with it is brilliant as well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And you know, the thing is, Michelle, and it just keeps on showing up, those non-scale victories for years and years and years. There's always something that happens. Like even for me, after 6 years, there'll be something. Like the other day I was walking and my shoelace come undone. And I just bent straight down and did it up. Now, I know when I was morbidly obese, I couldn't do my shoelaces up. I had to get my kids to do it, or I'd have to sit down, I'd huff and puff and trying to get my shoelaces done up. It was really embarrassing. You know, just things like that catch you. You know, like when you travel, you're like you've just were on that cruise to the Caribbean. You just fit in better to everything, and you just feel normal, and you just feel fantastic. And I think it's so freeing. You know, all those things that you just talked about. You know, not having those achy fingers, having enough energy for your job. And I mean, I know how hard cleaning is because when we do it here, I'm absolutely knackered when we're finished because my forever girl makes sure I do it pretty good, right? So yeah, and I think.
Good.
Yeah, and I think that's really important that we have all these other things than aside from the weight loss. But obviously, a lot of them do come also from getting the weight off our bodies as well. But there's just so many other things that come about. And that's why I always say to people, it's not just about weight loss, it's a complete overall lifestyle haul for me. But, you know, support networks are important. You already mentioned about your son taking up intermittent fasting. You must be extremely proud of him. Did he do that because he saw your example and you talked about it and he looked into it, or how did that roll for him?
My son Owen is 24. He's also got a very physical job. He's a bricklayer. He's got his own little bricklaying squad. And he had a little episode last year where he wasn't well. He was poorly. And he had to have a couple of months off work. He's absolutely fine now. But he put on about a stone, which is 14 pounds, while he wasn't working. And you could see it in his face, and he didn't like it. And I said, you know, why don't you try the intermittent fasting? He's up very early for work, so he doesn't really have time for breakfast. So it was quite easy for him to transition into the no breakfast. He doesn't drink a lot of coffee and what have you anyway. He goes to work on the building site. He'll get himself a lunch while he's there. Comes home. He is a great cook. He likes to cook everything from scratch. He doesn't like very much processed food. So he sort of makes his own teas and what have you. He's actually moving out soon. He's got his own flat. So I know he's going to be fine because he can cook. I'm not going to be worried about him. And he just absolutely loves it now. He very rarely has anything to eat after sort of 7, 8 o'clock. He'll have his tea and that's it. He's done. He goes to bed early. And he looks absolutely great. He goes to the gym every night. And he's lost that stone pretty quickly. He's probably lost a little bit more. And he's just so fit, so healthy, loves it. My daughter, bless her, she really tries her best as well, but she's got celiac disease. So it's quite difficult for her with food-wise and things like that. But she's lovely as well. She goes to the gym and she you know, she's very active. So the only person in the house that really doesn't do it is my husband, but he's very active, he's physical, and he doesn't feel that he needs to do it. But he's very supportive of my lifestyle. Always been very, very supportive husband. He doesn't mind if he comes in and makes his own tea and then I'll have mine later. I have recently just gone back. I don't drink very much alcohol now at all. I've taken on weekends away. I haven't missed it at all. And I think that was a little bit kind of strange for them to get used to at first, but now they're used to it. So yeah, everybody in the house, very supportive. My son's done brilliant on it. He's stuck to it for ages. It's just his lifestyle now as well. Brilliant. Yeah.
That's fantastic. You know, and support is very important. And I always say to people, stay plugged into your tribe, stay plugged into your communities, like the Fasting Highway Facebook group or other Facebook groups you may be in, or Patreon communities like we have for the Fasting Highway. Yeah. I know we have a great bunch of people on there that some of them are very long-term fasters, but they still like to stay plugged in. They still like to stay involved and they like to pay it forward in their experiences to help others. And they have a passion to do that. So for me, I need to stay plugged in to everybody in my tribe because I don't care how long I've been doing this, I'm not going to get complacent. I'm always going to help people, but I'm also going to stay plugged in so I can get motivated and inspired when I talk to people like you. I'm a very lucky person because every single week I get to talk to somebody in real time about an experience that has changed their life and changed their health for the better. And you can't buy that. You just can't buy that. And it's amazing. And sometimes I sit back in my chair and I just get blown away by people such as yourself. And I think when you hear it in real time from people, you just get so convinced that the lifestyle's great. I mean, I don't think it's mainstream myself. I don't think it's anywhere near mainstream. What's it like in the UK? I know there was a lot of talk earlier on with the Michael Mosley thing and the 5 and 2 in the UK and all of that.
Yeah.
But intermittent fasting itself, is that mentioned much? And is your doctor on board with what you're doing?
I don't go to the doctor very often, but I've got asthma, so I go for little checks and things like that. And I do have HRT checks for me menopause. So obviously when I do go, you get weighed and what have you. So yeah, I mentioned it to her the last time, my doctor, when I went for my check, she was thought it was great. She had heard about it and she was like, oh, I'm going to look into that. Very on board with it. A lot of people in the UK have heard of it. You still do get the odd people who go, oh, that diet where you can't eat anything. And honestly, I eat so much when I have my meals. I eat enough, you know. So people are catching on to it. I tell everybody about it. I'm an open book. I will talk about it till the cows come home. And obviously on my private Facebook, people were like, what have you been doing? You've lost weight. And I'd mentioned I do intermittent fasting, got a lot of interest off that. So I actually started a little private Facebook group myself on Facebook, purely for friends and family. The rule is I have to know the person for them to be in that group. It's no strangers. I can be completely myself. And it's just more or less like a little blog for me. But some of the girls on who joined that have done fantastic. I would say there's about 65 people on that group, which is great. And I would say out of the 65, maybe 5 of them have took up the intermittent fasting. And the difference on some of my friends has been unbelievable. So I'm so pleased, like yourself, in a very, very small way, that I've been able to help a few of my friends. I mean, people have got busy lives. Your working day is difficult. I couldn't do it now. I haven't got the time. So I think a lot of people think this is great. This, you know, you can structure your day and your day is so much more productive.
Michelle, you strike me as quite a positive person in your own right. And have you always been so positive, or has that increased in the way you think about yourself? I mean, You mentioned there at the start of the podcast how you were looking into the mirror and you saw that image and you went, oh my God, what have I done to myself? But now you're looking into that mirror and you're saying, you know what, Michelle, I look great. My hair looks great. I look fantastic in these clothes. I'm going on this banging cruise with my husband to the Caribbean. I'm going to strut around the cruise ship and I'm going to really enjoy it. And that's the difference that I find in people, that positivity comes. Has that sort of come for you in terms of how you think about yourself?
Not always positive. I have to be careful what I say in case any friends that listen and think, that's not Michelle. But, you know, you have to try and be as positive as you can. Sometimes life can get you down and get in the way. I used to be, because I've got like two businesses, I'm quite stressed quite a lot of the time. And if something doesn't quite go my way, I can fly off the handle a little bit and be like, my computer's not working or my phone's not working or something like that. So I have to kind of bring myself down a little bit sometimes. But positivity wise, for myself, 100% better. I used to go somewhere like the supermarket shopping, and I would see somebody coming up the aisle who I maybe hadn't seen for a while. And I used to duck my head down and turn around and run the other way, thinking they're going to meet me and think, what on earth has happened to her? Look, she's put weight on, or what a mess she looks. Like, I didn't have a very good image of myself. I've never been able to take a compliment. My mum will attest to that. I've always, even if it was when I was younger, when I lived at home, I used to come downstairs and, mum, what do you think of this outfit? And she'd go, oh, you look lovely, gorgeous. And I'd go, And I'd always wear black, always in black. I still wear a lot of black. I do like it. But it was more like a camouflage. I used to always think you looked slimmer in black, less attention. And I've always been allowed and kind of center of attention girl. I've always been able to hold my own, quite funny when I'm out with my friends and things like that. But a lot of that was kind of to mask the real feelings of I was uncomfortable in my clothes. Now, my wardrobe has completely changed. Still do wear a lot of black. I do like the black. But if I want to wear some colour now, beforehand, I was thinking, oh, no, I can't possibly wear that. And now I'll just wear whatever I like.
Yeah, that's so good, Michelle. It's such a freeing feeling, isn't it? Being able to wear what you want, you know, and think kindly about yourself. And I think that's so important with an intermittent fasting lifestyle. We talk about these positive self-affirmations a lot. We'll wake up in the morning and say a few nice things about ourselves to start the day. But when you start doing that every day and after about 30 or 40 days, no matter how small they are, they start to add up. And all of a sudden the wheel starts turning, the mindset starts turning, and you start thinking entirely differently about yourself and the way you feel, the way you look, that image that you see in the mirror. And it's time for you now. It's your time. And now you can put all that behind you and you've got your whole life ahead, you know, and you're going to see your kids grow up. You're going to see your grandkids.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of this about intermittent fasting, the want to do it and the why, was about longevity and seeing that in my life. Is that a big why for you, longevity?
I mean, luckily, I still have like my nana, and she's 97 years old, and she's absolutely brilliant. I've still got a lot of older aunties and uncles. You know, our families do seem to live for a long time, touch wood, I've said that. And I do want to get to a stage, like I'm 52 now, I'm still pretty active, healthy. I want to be the same when I'm 60, I want to be the same when I'm 70. I mean, my mum, 75, still comes out on long walks with me. She's on a bike, she's got a little cleaning job herself. You know, she's fantastic artist, she's fantastic, she's so, she's always doing something. You know, and I just think I want to get to 75, I want to get to 80. I still want to be able to run around. I mean, you'll see some people my age and they're like in little mobility scooters and things. And I think, what? No way do I want to get to that. So, you know, I think, all right, it is a bit boring to kind of think long term, but if you want to be healthier in the future, you do need to invest in yourself now. So that's what you're doing. You're investing in yourself now so you can live a healthy, happy and longer life. And I still want to be going on holiday. I mean, me and my husband joke that when we retire, we're going to downsize the house and get a little place in Spain He's going to do the taxi runs. I'm going to do a karaoke night in a pub. Like, that'll be my job. So if I want to do something like that in the future, you need to be keeping yourself healthy now. And I feel so much better.
And tell us about that holiday that you went on to the Caribbean for your 25th wedding anniversary with your husband there, and lovely of him to take you as well. And I hope you lovely enjoyed it. And how did you feel, like, yourself? Were you really proud of yourself that you'd made that effort and then you got on the holiday? And just tell us some of the things that you found were so much easier for you.
Oh, I loved it. It was so, it was just brilliant. We went with four friends. Six of us went all together. And Trish, my friend, it was her 60th birthday while we were actually on the cruise. They'd been on a few cruises before and the other four of us hadn't. So we kind of let them book it all and we didn't really know what to expect. But by the time I started the intermittent fasting in the January, we went in May, and I remember counting up. I had 15 weeks to lose some weight and I had lost 22 pounds when I went. And I mean, that made a massive, it might not sound a lot, but on a 5'3" frame, it is a massive amount. The clothes that I took were different. Bathing costumes that I had before were too big. I had to get new bathing costumes. Just even the excitement of sitting in the airport. I mean, we had to drive to Manchester Airport. We live in Newcastle. It's about 2 hours away, 2.5 hours. Stayed in a hotel the night before. And then even at the airport, usually we'd have like a pint and a bacon sandwich. I just had a bottle of water. I had a coffee. I wasn't bothered. And then when we got to the cruise, it was just absolutely fantastic. And I was so pleased that I had made that effort to lose that weight. Still managed to fast quite a lot while I was on the cruise. I mean, obviously, it's an experience of a lifetime. You want to experience everything. I absolutely had a whale of a time. Just felt dead confident, dressed up for dinners on an evening. And the two friends that I were with were dead complimentary and best friends. You know, they're very, very supportive. And I thoroughly enjoyed the cruise. I did put weight on while I was away. I came back off the cruise, immediately got weighed. I think I'd put 10 pounds on. I thought, right, straight back into the intermittent fasting. It's not like, well, you're back on a Thursday, let's start again on Monday, let's have a little weekend. Straight back onto it. And I think within 3 weeks, most of that weight was off. And I thought, brilliant, it was well worth it. And I don't think I could have got that weight off as quickly if I hadn't have went straight back into the intermittent fasting. But the difference on the holiday, the confidence, just even lying by the pool. Like, beforehand, if I had to go to the bar or whatever, I would lie on the sunbed, towel wrapped around us, sneak off to the bar, come back, lie down, towel back. Now I could just get up in my costume, walk around. I wasn't bothered. I felt great. It was a massive
that's so
difference.
Good. So good, Michelle. And that one of the reasons I asked you that question, because a lot of people out there struggle with vacations, and I knew you'd make that point that life is to be lived and enjoyed. And when you have a special occasion like that, certainly go and embrace it and enjoy it. And when you come back, go straight back to your normal protocol and you'll find, just as you were talking about, that the weight will come off. But it's also important that 10 pounds that you gained on the cruise, that a lot of that is just inflammation and water weight as well.
Of course.
It's not actually fat. So, you know, it's important for people to know that it's pretty hard to gain 10 pounds of fat in a short-term cruise. You know, you might gain a fair bit of inflammation and water weight, but so just keep that in mind and just know that when you come back from these events or cruises or vacations, go right back to what you were doing before and you'll see it all equalize over a period, as Michelle said, over a couple of weeks, you'll know the difference. But I think it's important to enjoy life as well with our intermittent fasting lifestyles, Michelle.
Definitely.
So, Michelle, you're getting towards that maintenance point or you're near it. And have you sort of been thinking about that and how you're going to handle that? Because maintenance is a very different mindset, in my opinion, to losing the weight. And I know that from being in maintenance now for 4.5 years, it still has a few challenges. So have you been thinking about maintenance and how you might handle that and just sort of try and do a bit more, add a bit more flexibility back in?
Well, at the stage I'm at now, I think I would like to lose another stone, which is 14 pounds, round about 14 to 16 pounds. I think it'll be perfect weight for me. And we've booked another holiday. We've just booked another holiday last night. We're going to Kos in, I think, about 12 weeks' time. And that's just going to be a week. It's all inclusive. It's on the beach. Beautiful. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I would love a stone off between now and then, because I know for a fact that when I'm there, yeah, I will be eating a bit more, probably having a few drinks. And I want to enjoy it. I've upped my exercise a little bit now. I've tightened my windows down to try to get that goal. When I do get to maintenance, I don't think, I mean, I won't be introducing the breakfast back in. That won't happen. Things like that I do miss these days is if I do go out for a coffee, like a brunch. I'd like to have maybe a brunch. So I know you do on a weekend, you'll have a Saturday and a Sunday where you'll have a brunch, then you'll have your evening meal. I don't particularly do that on a weekend now. I will wait till about 3 o'clock to eat. So I think in maintenance, I would like to loosen that up a little bit so that if I do go out on a weekend, I could have a nice, sandwich in the afternoon with maybe a little bit of cake or a scone. Then an evening, at the moment, maybe have a lunch and a meal. So when I'm in, I think that's something I'm going to look forward to doing. I don't think I'll change that much because of the busy lifestyle that I've got. It just fits in brilliant the way I'm doing it, I don't want to lose too much more weight because I think when you get to a certain age as well, you don't want to go gaunt or wrinkly or, I've got pretty nice skin and I don't want to lose that. I feel quite happy in me body at the moment. I feel good when I go out. However, I know that if I could just get that 14 pounds off, I think that would be perfect. And if I can get that stone off before the holiday, brilliant. But if not, if I went on holiday now, where I am now, I would still be happy with that. Do you know what I mean?
I do, and I think it's important that you sort of don't knock yourself around too much because you've done so brilliantly well. And sometimes we get to that point where we're getting close to that maintenance phase and we just keep thinking, I need to lose more and more and more. But I also think our bodies have a habit of telling us when it's time to sort of go into that maintenance phase. And like you said, you're feeling pretty good in your own skin now. You feel good in your clothes, you have energy, you feel comfortable. So you're close. You're not far away. So you're probably fine. You might get down another 5 or 6 pounds, something like that. And then all of a sudden your body's going to go, hey, you know what, Michelle, we feel pretty good here. Let's just have a bit of a rest for a while and see how it goes. But yeah, I think you have a really good mindset about how you're going to handle the maintenance side of things, because I call it vigilance without obsession. You've heard me say that. Because for me, you've still got to be vigilant, but you don't have to be obsessed about it once the weight's gone. And for me, the big thing is that just digging into my whys and drawing on the past and that pain of the past when I was an obese guy, that I never want to revert back to that ever again. I never want to have that feeling. And so now I haven't had that feeling for so many years now. I really feel like, intermittent fasting not only changed my life, it saved my life, but it created a you life. And in terms of what I'm now able to do without the weight on my body. But Michelle, you've been super inspiring today, but just some final words, if you don't mind, if you're sitting around in the cafe there with some group of friends or some people from your Facebook group there, if you wouldn't mind just sort of sharing some experience about, okay, Michelle, how are we going to get started? What are the three biggest messages you can give us in terms of intermittent fasting? And what are the key things?
So I would just say, don't overthink things. It's quite a simple thing to implement. Don't start thinking about things like I can't have this and I can't have that. Think about what you can have and think about what you're going to gain. And you just start. Don't, like, I can be a little bit of a procrastinator. I can sort of think, oh, I'm going to do that. But then if it seems a little bit too hard, I'll put it off and put it off. And then eventually when I do it, I think, what was I waiting for? Why didn't I just do it at the beginning? I would just say, just start. Try not to listen to anybody who thinks it's negative that you're starving yourself. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. It is a brilliant lifestyle. Do a little bit of research, but do some proper research. So I recommend you to everybody because I follow your protocol and with you and Jane's. There is a lot of rubbish online. And try not to get too bogged down with all of that. Find one thing that you're comfortable with, the fasting highway, and listen to the people in that group. I mean, I've just recently been not very well. I've been ill, put about 3 pound on. Immediately, I downloaded a lot of the old Fasting Highway podcast. I'm listening to them at work. They've really helped and inspired us, and that weight's coming off straight away. Try to get some, you know, try not to listen to any negative people around you. Focus on the positive people. And you can do it. It does work. You might not lose. You know, it took me a year to get that weight off. It's not a quick fix. But if I put 2 pounds on now, I can get it off within a couple of days. I don't worry about it anymore. And I would just say to anybody who wants to start, please just start it. You will never look back. It is a great way of living. And you will just, the benefits just are amazing.
I agree with you. And in short and summary of what you just said, I think your message is keep it simple. And for me, that's definitely the most important message. Keep it simple. Don't sort of push yourself too hard. Give yourself grace. Keep it simple. And even more important is give it enough time that it takes. If, as you said, it took you a year, it took me a year and a half. You know, if it takes you 2 years, it doesn't matter because you have a lifestyle change now. Yeah. But anyway, Michelle, thank you for joining me today. I found you super inspiring as always. And thanks to everything that you do for us. And again, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much, Graham. That was brilliant. Absolutely loved speaking to you. And I absolutely love the Fasting Highway. It's amazing.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. And thank you for coming on to the Fasting Highway podcast today and sharing your wonderful story with us. The absolute joy and passion you have for this lifestyle is really contagious, and it really oozed out of you in that episode. And thank you. And I know that you're going to inspire and motivate people all around the world that listen to it. Okay, folks, as you heard at the start of the podcast, this episode is brought to you by our Patreon community. I really encourage you to consider joining our Patreon community. It's been fantastic. We have a couple of Zoom meetings each month for accountability, which I host. We have a lot of experienced fasters in those meetings as well that help other people and maybe just getting started halfway through the journey. We problem solve things. We motivate each other and inspire each other. And those Zoom meetings twice a month are really great. But aside from that, there's a lot of content that you get back for your support of the Patreon. You also get bonus podcasts, bonus discussion topics, audio series on various topics. There's content put in there each and every week to help you with your intermittent fasting lifestyle. And I cannot encourage you enough to have a look at it and go to that link in the show notes there at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. And look, it's less than a cup of coffee a month to join. And really, for what you get back, it's the best accountability and support I know that you can find on the internet for that price. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.